Blog Talk Radio.
Take you inside what goes on in the world of sports. He's in the dugout. He's in the clubhouse. He's right by the water cooler. He is everywhere you need him to be to let you know what's going on. And also, you listen to the movers and shakers in the world of sports. You are found the right place with the legendary Doc Stanley on Sports in Depth.
And if I may say that the Sports In-Depth Nation is here. The Sports In-Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, good doctor.
Doc Stanley, Sports In Depth, Blog Talk Radio from our Grand Prairie, Texas studios, with CT Talks with us today, our co-host, Dusty, back in November, Yorkie, and is opening up Cooling the Gang, Summer Madness. I've always talked about the weather, my beloved Professor Laser, and the how even on the coldest days, it makes us feel warm, and the warmest days, warmer. Texas, 108 degree weather for like the whole summer. That is unquestionably summer madness. Larry Hardesty brings us on once again, and Rooney, point well taken, talking college football, and the Cowboys this weekend. As always, opening up, open with a prayer. My favorite, well, we're going with a song too. We'll start a prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for another day. More importantly, have you ruled your way. Thank you for last night's getting up. This morning's getting up. Last night's lying down. Thank you for the little things we so largely take for granted. Thank you for a debt that was paid that was never made on a cross long ago called Calvary. And we ask his blessings, all the blessings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
A Rádio Pajeú é o mundo todo. Fala, Stanley, direto dos Estados Unidos.
Meu nome é Doc Stanley.
Meu nome é Doc Stanley.
E eu moro em Nova York.
Eu moro em Nova York.
Nos Estados Unidos.
Nos Estados Unidos.
E estou ouvindo Rádio Web Pajeú.
Estou ouvindo a Rádio Web Pajeú.
Um abraço.
Um abraço.
Hugs. God bless you.
Deus abençoe você.
Eita, menino, quer dizer que agora é internacional, é?
Yes. Ué.
Open it up with my favorite gospel singer. It also reminds me of my great creator, Mimi. Sam Cooke.
And while she was pushing her way through, someone asked her, "What are you trying to do?" She said, "If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole." She cried, "Oh, she spent her money here and there until she had no more to spare. The doctors, they done all they could, but their medicine would do no good. When she touched him, the Savior didn't see. But still he turned around and cried, "Somebody touch me." She said, "It was I who just wanna touch the hem of your garment. I know I'll be made whole right now." She stood there crying, "Oh,
this is Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media, and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth, Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Government. They're right live in our Texas studios in Grand Prairie, Texas, and also back in our New York studios out of Queens with Dusty. We got football, we got boxing, and we're going to open it up with CT Talks. And just another thing hit me too, CT Talks. And thus are you interested,
yes, you
too? You know, the constant question of possibly getting another quarterback to come in, there was some talk, and CT, you too, Dusty, about, you know, Tom Brady, which kind of was, you know, Brady's always said he hated the Jets, and there was some talk, you know, Kaepernick's name came up in and out, and we know how that works out. And then there was some talk about Andrew Luck. Yeah, but CT, you said he would just not be in shape to do the job, and then his propensity to is another detriment. Tim?
Yep. Hello?
Yes.
No,
Doc,
no.
I
CT.
Think that,
yeah.
Doc, I think there's certainly a challenge you're going to face. Andrew Luck is his propensity to be injured. He's been out of the league for a few years now, I believe, and I'm concerned about his football readiness. I guess I would ask you, Doc, with respect to, you know, the unfortunate thing that happened to Aaron Rodgers. How do you position the rest of the Jets season? Is it over with from your perspective, or is there still hope?
Well, you know, the thing here too is Luck. There was some talk of him possibly thinking about a comeback, but you know, we had something happen last week that Tempsai Jonesy brought to the forefront. We had 14 starting, I believe I'm correct, black quarterbacks in a position where once they thought we were too illiterate to handle. And it was just, you know, how things change to a certain degree. And I just saw another face here. We're live from our Grand Prairie studios here with CT Talks, our co-host here, and back with everybody know every now and co-host still back in New York City. Dusty, you know, Tim Tebow just showed up. And I thought, well, wow, man, you know, he was a guy who didn't get the opportunity. He was a guy who, you know, came in, and me and Joe Klecko, and we take a hat off to Joe Klecko, got it finally inducted into the Football Hall of Fame. And three of the things to me and Klecko talked about was, one, this guy came in winning his division. Two, this guy came in getting his team in the playoffs, and this guy came in beating the Pittsburgh Steelers, something that, you know, Jets have had, you know, couldn't able to do. So he comes to this team, and then what Klecko liked about him was the personality, the Christian infused, the upbeat, the really wholesome American type of guy, the personality that he brought along with him, along with the talent. You know, personality is one game, but the talent that. And I just saw a commercial here in our studios. I said, you know, I'm wondering why his name doesn't pop up. But the look came to mind as the article I just saw. But then I saw Tebow. What about Tebow? I think, hold on, Dust, let me get this one. I think the well, go ahead, Dusty. I got my thought. Go ahead.
Yeah,
go ahead,
well, that's laughable. But the thing is that I heard Stephen A. Smith the other day mention Carson Wentz from the Eagles. And I'm saying, wait, are you for real? I mean, this guy was a backup to a backup, and he hasn't played for a long time. And, of course, my dream aspiration, which is going out the window, was the quarterback that they I forget his name, my God, that they blacklisted because he kneeled down, you know. But he's been out of
football. Kaepernick.
But then again, there was a joke, which, you know, I'm intrigued by it, that Tom Brady said, maybe I should come back and help the Jets. He was quoted as saying that. I said, I'll be damned if that's not an intriguing situation, even though
especially in the fact, Dusty, that he's always said, being a patriot, the hatred. But then we look at that, how, you know, at CT talks and Dusty, how money can kind of change things, because look how many Boston Red Sox became Yankee players.
Yep, exactly.
You know, I mean, we look at Boggs for one. You know, he became a Yankee. That's supposed to be such a devout hatred of I remember that they said one guy from the Enos Slaughter, when he joined the Yankees, he couldn't let his grandmother know because he was playing for the Yankees. You know what I mean?
But that's
a thought. Not only is that a thought, but between everybody he's named, he's the most ready prepared.
Exactly. And his coming back to football caused him his marriage, so he don't give a shit. So and he's making money as a broadcaster, making money heads over heels. So if he comes back, first of all, the crowd will accept. The man is a bankable quarterback. You know, I don't trust this kid Wilson. I mean, he's facing the Cowboys, who beat the crap out of the Giants, 40-0. How do you think he's going to do with the Cowboys? I mean, the Cowboys look sharp. I mean, even though the Giants.
Well, let's elaborate on that. With CT, we're going to bring you in here too. I mean, beating the Giants is reality. Is no big thing. And last week, Jesse, all the points of merit were really scored by the defense and special teams for the Cowboys. I looked at Dak had he played for a little while, didn't throw any IT. This is a big statement game. Even if they lose close to the Cowboys, because the coaches said this is a very reputable team. Let's not forget they had the rookie of the year offensively. They had the rookie of the year defensively. They lost two or three games where the other team didn't win that they lost. Tomorrow's game is big. They come into Dallas, beating Dallas. And no matter what you think of Prescott, Dallas is always an outstanding football team. Their win last week was huge against the Giants because not only did they beat the Giants, but they beat a division foe. So right now, you know, they're leading the world. The Eagles win again, so they're 2-0. So I supposed to Blog Talk Radio, Trust and Grab Network. CT Talks is here with us live from my grandparents' studios. Dusty back in our live studios in New York City. And what I said to the lot of the players, so, you know, listen, Rodgers came to a good football team. This is not a bad football team. He would not have came to a bad football team. He would not have came to a football team that he saw a chance to win. Let's not forget that, you know, there was talk of the Jets going to the Super Bowl. So this is a very good football team. What they need now is somebody to handle the offense. Yesterday, last week's game was a huge game, a psychological game. But to beat Josh Allen, okay, who is, I think, overrated as a quarterback, you know, as being an elite quarterback, he's a very good team. They beat a very good football team. And they beat a football team, and listen, the defense got a fumble. They got a bunch of Harry's, and they got three interceptions. So this they need somebody that can tomorrow's game is huge. Tomorrow's game tells us you can't take away the victory they had. You can't take that away. You can't take it away from me.
I think tomorrow will be primarily a game of which defense will outshine each other. I think certainly you know, the Jets have proven they have a very strong defense. Of course, Dallas is known for their defense. It's going to come down to a game of turnovers. And quite frankly, if the Jets quarterback can mitigate and minimize turnovers, we do know that Dak Prescott has a propensity to throw the ball and turn over. And he's playing a very, very good defense. So I think there's an opportunity for you guys to win if your quarterback can come in and play to his strengths and minimize turnovers.
Not only that, the fact that you're coming in knowing that's the kind of game you got to play. If you can play that game, you can get the points, and you also can control the clock.
This is my opinion of what I see. The quarterback, if he doesn't find a receiver, he panics and runs. I mean, a good quarterback has the eagle eye to see what receiver he can throw to with quality. But he just seems to doesn't see anybody, he gives up and starts running. Oh, great, he's a scrappy quarterback.
He would have
been a better play by finding a receiver. I mean, that young man that caught that that miracle catch in the end zone, bouncing with, I mean, this guy's a good ball player.
Okay, Tim, you spoke about that. Continue, Des.
Yeah, and the young man that made that catch, that miracle catch, almost like the receiver with the Super Bowl against the Patriots and the Giants. I mean, this kid's good. Before.
He's a phenomenal player, and he has a special talent.
Yeah,
I agree.
These young kids are piped up. It's just that my question mark is the quarterback. I just don't feel comfortable. Panics.
Just don't know
what to do. But if the defense boys and the Cowboys, they could pull it. It could be a low scoring thing, but they could pull it out. With a short score, because they're good. Just that the big question mark is the quarterback.
I agree, and I think if they can run the ball, control the clock, have that strong New York Jets defense show up and keep this to a low-scoring game, force Dak Prescott into some bad throws and some turnovers.
Yeah.
You got a chance. Your defense always gives you a chance. What New York comes into here with a chance, for sure.
Exactly.
But I'm with you. You got to give the edge to Dallas because, Dak, I would say, is slightly better quarterback than the one on the other side of the ball, on the other team. But he can turn over. He can turn the ball over. I'm sure he will.
The little fishnet with the offense of the Cowboys and our linebackers can get to the quarterback. That's the difference. I've been saying to myself that whatever quarterback shows up, it probably will decide the victory.
I agree.
Besides the offense and defense, but like I said, the clouds is out. I mean, the cows are gone. I just don't have any confidence with this dude. And I've seen him panic, and I've seen him as where receivers are waiting for the ball, and he's panicking, he's running helter-skelter, this, that, and the other, looking back.
Well, Dusty, listen, we knew we had no confidence. We made a mistake about not keeping the other kid. I mean, Rodgers was a no-brainer to take Rodgers. But, you know, last week he showed some good things. And he said something in the post-game press. Doc Stanley was posted a Block Talk Radio live from my Grand Prairie, Texas studios. Now, he said, look, you know, I didn't want to come in under these conditions. But I did want to play prime time. I did want to be in a big moment. When, you know, he listen, let's not forget you originally drafted him thinking he could play the kind of game he played last week. So now, yeah. You know, we're not really asking him to give us seasons. We're asking him to give us game by game. I think somewhere along the line, the Jets are going to pick up a quarterback. I think they're kind of dismayed that they got rid of their second-string quarterback last year. But I think somewhere along the line in the next couple of weeks, Somebody's going to say, you know what? Hold on, Dust. I think in the next couple of weeks, somebody's going to pop up who's good and who wants to play in New York City. Now, right. There's also been a talk of the old San Diego Chargers quarterback. You know? But, so, I mean, so go ahead, Dust. Come on.
No, but I'm saying that the trading season is, late September or October before – you know, somewhere around, it's very close where we can pick up a few players. I forgot what the time frame.
The thing here, Dusty, I mean, we're only talking the second game of the season, so we've got plenty of time. I just think somewhere along the line, they're going to be able to get somebody pretty good because it's New York City. You want to play in New York for the lineup, all that kind of stuff. And now you add a very interesting piece to this puzzle. Is Tom Brady. You know, I mean, who would have ever thought that Wade Boggs would play for the Yankees? You know what I mean? So, you know, you look at the, you know, never say, what's that, you know, it's amazing how soon never comes. You know what I mean? In certain situations and forever and a day. So I think, you know, I tell you what will be big toward them getting somebody of merit. Winning tomorrow's game is going to be huge. But to lose tomorrow's game, and never forget, losing is losing. There's no bad wins and no good losses. But if they can show some, and let's not forget, this is one of the better defensive teams in pro football. You know what I mean? Yeah. Right now, they're coming in with a better defensive team than the Cowboys, even though the Cowboys was all defense last week. So I think somewhere along, somebody is going to come along. Okay, CT Talk said luck is out. Okay, because he hasn't been, but maybe he has been in shape. Maybe he has to have
it. And just to be a bit contrarian, gentlemen, I think there's a couple of things that you want to make sure that we keep in mind. Aaron Rodgers himself speaks very highly of this gentleman who is backing him up. And keep in mind that this young man had the opportunity to see arguably one of the greatest of all time in preseason, how he goes about his work day-to-day, how he prepares his decision-making. And I saw Aaron kind of taking this young man up under his wing and trying to teach him how to be great. And so I think the game you saw last week was remnants of what he learned from Aaron Rodgers. Absolutely. And I believe that it's a bit premature to feel like he can't lead this team with the great defense you have. And I would say give this man an opportunity. Aaron didn't – his tongue ain't swollen up. He can still talk. He can still guide this man. They can still go watch film together. And he can still tell this man how to continue to be – he can still coach him, okay? So the dude is coachable. Aaron said himself, I'm going to go win a few championships for y'all, and I'm going to hand the baton back off. Well, things have now accelerated, and this brother has to jump in there and learn earlier than he'd like to. But I don't think y'all should give up on him quite yet, because I think if one of the greatest of all time saw potential in this young man, certainly there's some potential there. And obviously, I'm not saying he's ready tomorrow. I'm saying certainly there's some potential downstream.
CT Talks, I'm 100% with you. Like I said, we're not asking him to give us career here. We're asking him to do this game by game, and we're not looking at what you just said of the kind of game he had last week. We're not saying, you know what, look what he did. A lot of people are saying, they're patting him on the back, and you're saying, well, wait a minute, you know, So Aaron Rodgers wasn't in the huddle, but there's a lot of Aaron Rodgers in his head. And
exactly.
He did a remarkable job last week. You know, we got a very self-destructive type of offense here down in Dallas. We still come in Dusty, CT, we got three INTs against Josh Allen. We got a fumble against Josh Allen. We shut out one of the better football teams in the second half. You know, so
and Allen hasn't won an opening game in four seasons, something like that. He never wins an opening game. But you're absolutely right. You know, I'm very sure right now in his sick bed, Rodgers has the kid on the phone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know he does.
And you know what? And another thing here, too, Jim, Dr. Danny's supposed to have live from our Grand Prairie studios in Texas. Here's another thing, too. You know, everybody's underrating them.
Yeah.
So they showed their psychological strength last week by saying, okay, so he got hurt. Hey, we can still win the game. Everybody is psychologically underestimating them, underrating them, and that's a plus factor that they're taking with them into this game. Tomorrow's game is huge, gentlemen. Tomorrow's game is huge. Win, lose, or draw, tomorrow's game is huge.
That's going to tell a lot about both teams. It's going to tell a lot about Dallas, and it's going to tell a lot about New York, no question.
Yeah, it's a pre-Super Bowl game. I mean, it's huge.
It is.
You go into overtime. Why? Because of the fluke. The kicker on the Bills misses two or three other points, but then the one
and Dusty, hold that thought, Dusty. And you see, once again, there's psychological strength. You know, because, okay, listen, everybody's down after Rodgers gets hurt in the first quarter. Everybody's down now after Buffalo goes up, and now it's a 10 submit game. You're down when the guy runs about 87 yards, and you got to take a field goal instead of touchdown. You're down when you take the lead and the guy comes back and kicks a field goal to tie the game. You're down again, supposedly. But nobody told the Jets this. You're down again when Buffalo wins the toss and gets the ball. But evidently,
no, they didn't win the toss. The Jets won the toss.
No. The Buffalo won the toss in overtime. Dusty, Buffalo won the toss in overtime, and that's why they got the football.
No, nobody's
going to win the toss overtime and give the other team the football.
The coach gave Buffalo the toss. They won the toss, and they gave it to Buffalo.
Dusty, you're not listening. Dusty, Buffalo won the toss going into overtime. Buffalo won the toss. Yes, they did win the toss overtime. That's why they got the football.
No, the Jets did not win the toss and give the ball to Buffalo.
Buffalo won the toss for overtime.
Okay.
Check it out again.
Dusty, I do believe that Doc is correct. I believe that
Buffalo
won
the toss.
Dusty, is that if Buffalo had have won the toss and went down and scored a touchdown, game's over.
Absolutely.
So you take the buyout. So you don't even give. In my opinion, it would have been crazy for them to even give
the offense an
opportunity to go down and score.
Overtime.
If you score a field goal, then the other ball still gets a chance.
The other team has to have. I understand that. But it was my understanding that Buffalo won and the Jets said, you got it.
Somebody gets one. There's nowhere in the world I'm going to win the toss in overtime and give it to the other team. Because they go down the field, get a touchdown. The reason why the Jets won the game, because they scored a touchdown. And my problem is when the Jets got the ball back, I said the last thing they need to do now is kick another field goal because Buffalo gets the ball again.
You only win the game
when you get the ball right away and you score a touchdown. If you get the ball right away and score a field goal, the other team gets a chance to get the ball. That they changed that rule from a couple years ago. But the thing is, I'm talking about from the psychological strength that the Jets continually showed. Rodgers goes down, doesn't bother him. Buffalo goes up, doesn't bother him. Okay, field goal that hits the goalpost doesn't bother him. Buffalo wins the toss, doesn't bother. Buffalo gets the ball, doesn't bother them. I mean, so this is a very good football team being overlooked. But, you know, and I like the coach. I like the coach, you know. But like you said, tomorrow's game is a big game. That's going to be supposed to be Block Talk Radio, Central Government Network. Let's switch football for a minute here. Going to college football. Big football game here. No. The game we're talking about is the Florida State Boston College football game. And CT, you know, Dusty, Boston College had an unheard of 18 penalties. 18 penalties, new NCAA record, surpassed 18, and they still in field. But what I liked about this game, CT, is that an interception was made by Florida State, and when they didn't get into the end zone, the coach let the linebacker come in who had caught the INT to score the touchdown. I had never seen that before, CT. It just takes your hat off to the coach. What he did, Dusty, the linebacker who caught the INT, Florida State got the ball. They thought they ran in for a touchdown. They didn't. They were 1 yard out. He brought in the linebacker who had caught the INT and let him score. CT, I never saw that. Did you ever see that before?
Oh, shit. You got to be kidding.
Yeah, I've never. I haven't seen that before. In fact, I was trying to look that gentleman's name up online myself to figure out who he was. But I think he rewarded the young man for what he did.
CT Minutos. What I want to do is get that coach. What's the name of the coach again, CT?
I believe is it Norris or something like that?
We'll find it out. We'll find out the head coach.
Norris or something like that.
I was listening to it. I'd never heard of that before. And it just says a lot about the coach. The linebacker who got the interception, and like I said, they thought they had scored, and he brought him in to run in the touchdown. And when you talk about Florida State, you cannot overlook the fact that, and this is something we talked about, Dr. Sandy, supposed to be Block Talk Radio on Trust and Guard, anyway, live from our Grand Prairie studios. We can't overlook Charlie Ward, who wins the Heisman Trophy on the number one team in the nation, on the undefeated team. So here's a guy who's on the number one team in the nation, the national champion, okay, undefeated, win the Heisman Trophy, and nobody drafts him as quarterback. And you're saying, wait a minute. I know, and you're saying here, wait a minute, hold it, let's go. He has the best team in the country. His team was undefeated. They won the national championship, and him at quarterback won the Heisman Trophy, and nobody drafted him. So-called bullshit line was, well, he says he's going to play pro football. So you mean to tell me pro basketball. You want to go try to persuade him to play pro football? Nobody drafted the number one player in the country on the number one team in the country who won the Heisman Trophy and was under. I think it might have been two years ago, and nobody drafted Charlie. I always think about that with Florida State, and it's just you never lose sight. And if you think you do, white America will let you never lose sight of the racist mindset that's always been perpetrated in this country straight up, and you see it so blatantly in sports, okay, and military and police. But it was just, how did this guy, even if you drafted him last on the last round, how did a guy who led his team to the national championship undefeated and nobody drafted him at quarterback and become the first ever black quarterback to win the Heisman Trophy? But it was a good game. It shows you how, you know, Florida State CT has a lot to look at, because this team had 18 penalties and they were still in the football game.
Yep, exactly. But that's the way, not the way, but that's the shit that's always been, you know.
It isn't going to change. Dr. Sandy, supposed to be Block Talk Radio live. CT Talks, we're looking at some of the college football games. We're looking at South Carolina is trailing Georgia State 17-10. But this is a good football game, too. Georgia State is only, week of the college football season, but they're playing a very good game against number one. That's some of the scores that will happen today. The big thing, prime time in Colorado tonight, the 8 o'clock game. And he's a great line, my buddy Dave Dave Zeno, who was a police officer with me back in New York. And he said, you know, he won one football game all last year, and already he has two wins. Georgia 17-14 over South Carolina, third quarter, 7 minutes and 40 seconds left to go in another big college football game. And we're talking about the big Dallas game against the Jets. Some more Giants are playing again. I thought the Giants were just exposed for the kind of football team they are, and also to give them that kind of money. CT talks, the money that they gave Jones. And, you know, you have this situation, too, just as we see. Now, we had the white quarterback up for money and the black running back up for money, and the black running back didn't get paid, and the white quarterback didn't. There was a guy who did a story in one of the daily newspapers where he justified it, Jones getting the money, and justified it, Barkley not getting the money. Okay? And then, you know, we had the situation, too. We talked about Dallas years ago. Aikman didn't even ask what he got his money. Hill, yeah. Okay, I mean, Emmitt Smith had to sit out to get his money. And now talking about Barkley, real quickly, Dusty, that gives me a segue into this. Iron Barkley is his uncle. We've got a big fight coming up.
Yeah, I don't know. You're right.
No, we've got a big fight coming up. Charlo against Canelo. Some thoughts on that fight, Dusty?
Well, you know, like I told you before, you know, you always have the opportunity to pull possible defeat and turn it into victory. I don't sell this. You know, I look at Charlo. I've been studying him all this freaking week, and he looks like a kid who walked into the candy store. He says, "Oh man, I can get all this candy." And is he really settled in understanding what he could accomplish? I put him in the role of Bud Crawford against Spence. That he's up against all these odds because he's fighting an animal. But I'm saying, God, you know, I hope you're just not going for the ride, because one of the writers wrote that he's making a good 50 mil plus pay-per-view. So, I mean, that's good money. But to get your ass whipped, I don't know. And I look at Canelo, who says, well, I like all challenges, but then how come you didn't challenge the big brother, not the little kid? And then when Charlo goes up, he's always been a big dude, a hard puncher. Moving up two weightless, it's no big deal. It's no big deal. He's walking around weight of 60 pounds, man. So the guy has nothing to lose. The only thing is that he hasn't fought in almost 2 years because he had a broken hand, left hand. And then again, you got to look at Canelo's deficit. The man had operation on his wrist, operation on his right knee, you know, and he didn't look good with this tomato can from Europe, you know, even though he beat him. So it's, to me, like I say, like I've always told you, this is going to be, to me, a pick-em until I see what happens in the first or second round. You know, but I won't be surprised. In fact, you know, to play the devil's advocate, I hope Charlo beats him. You know, no, I never take sides, but I like Charlo. I'm not a fan of anybody, but I like Charlo, and I like what he poses, but I hope he's not going thinking he's in Disney World and all the candy's going to him, because he's going to have to fight to win that freaking title, man.
No, I think he is, too, both sides of the stories here. Okay. Charlo is in a can't-lose position, you know, and you know, plus you're in boxing for two things, a championship and the money. He's got a championship, okay? I don't know if he's still undefeated. So here is the money. I got nothing to lose. It's 4th and 20. Throw the ball down the field. If nobody catches it, we're going to kick the ball anyway. On the other side of the story with Canelo, it's you know, it's a can't-lose situation anyway. You know, he's going to get paid. He's making big money. It's not like he's got to take care of an undefeated record. So both guys are in a plus situation. You know, I'm fighting the lesser of the two evils in the brothers, because he's a smaller brother. And, you know, you got to figure he'd be, why did he pick the bigger brother? Because the bigger brother would have been a tougher fight. So I've got a Charlo. I've got an easier Charlo. And at the same time, Charlo, in the other, his side of the ledger is, yeah, he may have in his favor, what the Jets are going to have in their favor, I think, until they start winning a few games, he's going to be underestimated. So he can't lose because, you know, he's making the big payday. He can't lose because nobody really kind of pictures him to win per se. There are some going the other way. So in both cases, this is a good fight for both guys. You know, Canelo's going to fight a smaller guy because after the weigh-in, Dusty, he's going to go back down. He's not going to be weighing the 160 or the 168. And Canelo's going to be bigger.
Canelo, you know, what you see, this is what got my stomach in knots. The poor guy, he committed suicide. I mean, why did he stay in his own lane? Bullshit. This dude is good. You know, this dude is good. He got good instincts, good punch. He has one of the most devastating uppercuts. And Canelo was hit 3 or 4 times with uppercuts.
Dusty, can I go back on that? Is you know, why is that such a devastating punch? And nobody uses it, Dusty. What's the story with that? Well,
it's like a steam shovel in construction. You come from the bottom up, and you're going up. I mean, with the solid power of your legs. You saw what Mike Tyson did to Marvin Frazier? I mean, the guy thought he was in an elevator. He went up.
I kind of know because of the minds of the people in Boston today. But why is it, you know, like body punching? Why is it an art and a part of the sport that is just not everybody's headhunting? Why is it not? And I think I know why. It's because of the trainers. But you can tell me, why is it not used?
I don't know, because one of the key punches that we were trained and brainwashed with is that, especially when you're up close, you don't throw it from left field, but you throw it up close when the chin is there and wham. I mean, you sort of almost decapitate the dude, you know. And the fact of the matter is that Tank Davis did it to Santa Cruz and knocked him out. He fought another guy named the Aztec Warrior, knocked him out with an uppercut to the body. I mean, God, Jesus Christ. You know. But the fact of the matter is that I am not selling Charlo short. I will not be surprised if he beats Canelo. I will not, but everybody, you know, feels sorry for the guy. But then again, if I were Charlo and I know I didn't have a chance, I'm still going home with 50 mil plus pay-per-view. So I'm still the undefeated, junior middleweight champ. I got all my 4 belts. So I don't care. I mean, I took a shot at the bigger man. They expected me to lose. Hey, so I lost, but I'm still going to the bank. My injury.
No, that's the bottom line. She's still going to the bank, still going to start. And I've always said this. Dr. Stanley's supposed to do a blog talk radio on the Trusting Guide Network live from my Grand Prairie, Texas studios. I've always said this. There's only 4 guys in my mind at their best who went into the ring, and you weren't going to beat them. The first Ali, the first Tyson, Sugar Robinson at welterweight, Duran at 135. And Ray Leonard only lost one big fight. So anything can happen in fights like this. You know, he's not fighting the first Ali. He's not fighting Sugar Ray Robinson. Hey, Dusty, he ain't fighting Too Sweet Doc Stanley. You know what I mean? So, you know.
Too Sweet finisher Doc Stanley.
Dusty, and you wonder why I love you.
That's right.
Stanley live here. Some other scores. Well, what's big thing here now? 3 minutes left to go in the third quarter. Number 1 Georgia is only 3 points up against South Carolina. So we'll be keeping score on the college scores. I think, Tim, we got to give it a lead a while, right?
I just want to, we got in a couple minutes, but I just wanted to, as the least knowledgeable person about boxing on this call, I'm sure there's a couple of things I did want to comment on. One was, it's a fairly big deal, Dusty, to go up 2 weight classes, particularly in your natural weight class. So this gentleman, Charlo, trying to jump 2 weight classes, and as Doc has stated, will probably lose that weight immediately. How much steam does that take out of you before the bell 1 even rings, right? And I'm wondering, is he going to be prepared physically to take that pounding with a man that's more comfortable with his natural weight or strength? I'm wondering about that. And then as you guys talk about the body shots, how do, you guys have forgotten more than I'll ever know, but I'm wondering, have they changed the game up a little bit, Dusty, because unfortunately the folks that are you know, ticking off which your wins and losses, are they counting those body shots as they would a head shot? And so now they're trying to play to make sure they win the round by doing head hunting, unfortunately, instead of going back to classic boxing and making sure they break down the body first. I just want to get your thoughts on that, because I'm just throwing some ideas out there.
There is a saying, you kill the body and the head dies.
Absolutely.
That's true. You could hit a dude in his head, he'll feel the sting, you sting a little bit, and he can move around. But you hit a dude in the body, that's going away, right? And then if you are fortunate enough to hit him in the body in the same location, that's double worse. Those liver shots are mothers, man. They'll cripple you.
But do the judges do their job of understanding a tactician like that, Dusty? And is he getting the points that win? In other words, if you ain't knocked nobody out at the end of the day, are the judges giving you points? Can you win a round by being that tactical with the body like you're talking about in your mind?
Well, unfortunately, the judges get confused.
That's the point I'm making, Dusty.
Dusty, with that comment, I'm going to take a page from Harold West. You're being far too kind.
I saw it last night where the dude gets pounded to the body. But the other dude was just throwing headshots. I said, oh my God, he's
exactly, Dusty. Exactly right. And that's why I think they don't go to the body like they should.
See, but Mucho. One thing, Mike, but that's the bonito.
He doesn't have the stamina to even move or go to later round.
Oh, he might need a little bit push. I go to occupy legal with that Cito.
Right.
See.
But one of the things
legal with
that
Cito. Okay,
nerves in his jaw, and you stagger him. Oh my God, he's out. But
yes,
the guy goes crazy.
Okay, no problem. He might have ended up with a mistake.
If you stagger a dude, you go head hunting, you can lose him.
Okay, excuse me, no more.
To the body, and I ran away. Got him.
Right.
Unfortunately. They see the headshots and they see the jabs and they see. Last time we had a dude, his bones were fractured back and forth. I mean, and the referee didn't stop the fight. The doctor had to stop it. Because he was fighting and fighting back and hitting the opponent. But his body was messed up, nose was broken, and then finally had to stop it. But what I'm saying is, these headshots, yes, they do count. They look visible. You can see the cuts and the bleeding nose and the
Some
shots to the body are the ones that will take and can. This is what I'm saying. Can Charlo Canelo is a vicious body puncher.
I got you.
But then again, I don't know.
I got you.
Charlo's a tough dude, but Canelo is a vicious animal. He's into his own world where he knows he cannot be beat, and he hits
here, Dusty. Let's go back to the beginning of this sport is hitting and not getting hit. So the whole.
Yeah, of course. But the fact of the matter is that.
That's what you got to lose. No, I'm close. Yeah, Dusty. No, I mean, have we forgotten that? And it seems the reality of the situation that the guys in this sport have forgotten it too, is that it's the art of hitting and not getting hit. You know, we've had two more, and we're gonna close the show in a minute. This segment, we'll be back tomorrow. You know, the problem with boxing today is you haven't too many fights and too many boxing matches. You know, and guys are willing to take a punch or two. You know, and what you're saying is that you know Canelo's not the kind of guy that'd be willing to take a punch.
Yeah, but I mean, Canelo will hit you in your elbow, your arms, your biceps, your neck, anywhere to weaken you. That's his forte. You know, that's his forte, and especially his vicious body shots. He's a dude that will throw a hook to the liver and then go upstairs to the head. He's an elevator fighter. That's the expression that I've been telling you for years.
I like that term. Hey, an elevator fighter. You hear things here on Sports in Depth that you won't hear no place else in the world. Have you ever heard the term, anybody? Think about it. An elevator fighter. And you hear it from a guy that kind of knows this sport a little bit. And Dusty, and what a tremendous line, Dusty, that we can put. We're going to close with this segment. Dusty, you will be back tomorrow. In closing, we'll keep you updated on some of the football games here. But don't move, Dusty, because, you know, as we do back in our New York studios, we're going to do real quick. We're going to let Marvin Gaye take us on our way before we go on our way. Say, Mr. Gaye, come on in now.
I just want to ask a question. Who really cares? Save a world in despair. Who really cares? There'll come a time.
There'll come a time.
When the world won't be singing.
When the world won't be singing.
Flowers won't grow.
Flowers won't grow. No.
Bells won't be ringing.
No bells won't be ringing.
Who really cares?
Who really cares?
Who's willing to try?
Who is willing to try?
Save a world.
To save a world.
That's destined to
that
die.
That is destined to die.
When I look at the world.
When I look at the world.
It fills me with sorrow.
It fills me with sorrow.
Little children today.
Children today.
Really gonna suffer tomorrow.
Really suffer tomorrow.
Oh, what a shame.
What a shame.
Such a bad way to
such
live.
Such a bad way to live.
Oh, who is to blame?
To blame.
We can't stop
when
living.
We can't stop living. Oh, oh.
Live.
Live.
Live for life.
Live for life.
But let live, everybody.
Live life for the children.
Live life for the children, oh, for the children.
You see, let's
oh,
save the children. Let's save all the children.
Save the babies. Save the babies. And if you want to live,
and if I may say that the Sports in Depth Nation is here. The Sports in Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, good doctor.
Eric Bonet. This is on his way after Mr. Gaye. And live from our Grand Prairie, Texas studios. And Dusty, you know, a couple of thoughts hit me, you know. And when CT talked about coming to weight classes, and it just shows how great Roberto Duran was, and Marion Borkman always said, when you talked about the big four, that's a big five. Benitez should have been in there, but Tommy, Ray, Benitez, him, and Hagler. Mm-hmm. He said Duran was number one. And he's number one because he was, and one of the things he made number one, comes up two weight classes, Dusty. Two weight classes, past his prime, this boy's in his prime, and he's arguably the second greatest welterweight of all time in Ray Lynn. And beat him convincingly. You know, I remember he came out the eighth round and told Arcelin, fight's over, you know what I mean? But okay, we're going to have you back tomorrow. We're going to do a pregame or postgame show from the Giants, I mean the Jets-Dallas game. Closing thoughts as we go. You know, names have been mentioned. I think somewhere on the line, the Jets are going to wind up with somebody. But as CT Talk said, you know, maybe what happened last week, Dusty, the circumstances has matured the young quarterback that we saw. I mean, you had to get a chance at Rodgers, but maybe last week is a big maturity because he showed a lot of psychological forte. So maybe we may have found the quarterback that we were always looking for, at least for this season, Dusty.
Right. You know, the thing is that I'm down on him, but you're absolutely right. You know, you see, the thing is that he's facing adversity because he knew he was going to be on the bench all season. Okay? This happens to Rodgers. And what happens to Rodgers, you and I have been talking about this for over 20 years in sports in depth, that stupid artificial turf.
Dusty, you know what? It's remarkable to me. It's remarkable to me, and we've said this not a million times, Tom. Dusty, we're like 3 million now. How do I guarantee you? No, Dusty, come on. How do I guarantee you $70 million? How do I guarantee CT $65 million? How do I guarantee Howard Wilson $40 million? And with local TV money coming in, national TV money coming in, local radio money coming in, local TV money coming in, and fans got to pay $10,000 to buy season tickets, why are you not going to do this? Now, here's my thought, Dusty. Here's my thought. Because 85% of the players are black. So what? I know, you know, when we talk about those, I got to share the article, a guy talked about racism in the media set up with the NFL. And one guy said, well, how can you talk about racism in the media with 85% of the players? Well, he's talking about racism in the media situation because 85% of the players are black, but what percentage of the players are black and Latin managers and coaches? You know what I mean?
Exactly. The same thing.
You know, it's that great line that the great man Brooklyn said, you gave me a 10-speed bicycle and you said, why am I bitching about it? I want a brand new car. But just gave me a 10-speed bicycle.
Yeah. The truth, you know, the thing is that's why I have no love lore for the Giants, because what they did to that the coach last year,
not only that, okay, and I know you're so smart for the way they did our man Jerry Reese, who won a Super Bowl his first year for him. Okay, they didn't want to give Barkley the money. Okay, and I've said this, and we're going to close on this. The New York Yankees, with all these big Latin and black fan base, when the 21st century, we've had a black president, we've had a black vice president, we've had a black governor, and we've had two black mayors, and the Giants and the Yankees are not remotely thinking about a black head coach or black manager.
Exactly. And the thing is, I hear Elston Howard, who I knew as a friend, we did a lot of work together, man. The man, that every year he interviewed, no good. Hey, Willie Randolph is retired and told him, oh, no, go somewhere else.
Another direction. That's right. Another direction. Another direction. But as our good friend Don King says, that's the only in America.
It's true. Only in America we're still slaves. I know.
We're slaves, you know. So we're back tomorrow. Closing thoughts real quick as I let you go.
Oh, no, the same old thing. It's good talk, you know, and we sort of clarified a lot of things. And I just hope that what you guys talk about, that the Jets showed that the possibility, and I just hope, being down on that freaking quarterback, that now he says, oh, man, I got to suck the gut, and I got to do something better here, you know. I mean, you could have a good offensive team. You could have a good defensive team, but if that quarterback stinks, you might as well forget the season, man. And that's
what you're saying, Dusty, what you're saying is no matter how big the gun, you got to have the bullets.
You better believe it. Because you can wave that song, bitch, all over the place, but you can't stop that perp. You're in trouble.
Stop, Stanley. Sponsored by Blindside Radio, live from our Grand Prairie, Texas studios, and Georgia is only just missed a field goal. They're only leading by 3. It's a 17-14 game, and the number one team in the country is only leading by 3 points. And a win in this kind of way today may even take them into dropping out of first place. But we'll be back tomorrow. Dusty CT Talks, also G Rob, our
famed DJ
will be. Okay, Dust. So we'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks for being with us, baby. Tomorrow
okay,
now.
Baby. God bless. Bye. Take care. Okay, CT. Take care, too. All right.
This is Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media, and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth, Blog Talk Radio, Trust and Government. Now, we're getting ready to go into the show. We got to run. Be back tomorrow. CT Talks live from my Grand Prairie, Texas studios, and also Dusty got back in our New York studios, and we're closing out, as we always do. Larry Hardesty saying this. We got to go.
Hi, I'm Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. Did you enjoy the show? It was outstanding, but I expect that from the legendary Doc Stanley. Nothing less than the best. As he always says to me, and it's my favorite saying from him, live your life today as if you have to stand before God tomorrow. Words to live by. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night, and we'll see you next time on Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley.
Could we close out with my favorite orchestra and Google group, also my dear friend Dr. J, the one and only, and the record that got me introduced to him. We got to go into the show, Earth, Wind & Fire. Check this out.
Oh.
Doc Stanley Sports Network, Blog Talk Radio, and the Trust and Cover. Now, we're going to do something here today different with some time left and broadcasting from our Grand Prairie, Texas studio. We're going to give you some music from the greatest jazz album ever recorded, Kind of Blue. Miles Davis, John Coltrane on tenor sax, mild trumpet, Cannonball Adderley on alto sax, on piano, dang, I see his name is him, Bad Dog, on drums was on bass, Paul Chambers bass, Miles Davis trumpet, John Coltrane tenor saxophone, Cannonball Adderley on alto saxophone, Paul Chambers, Philly Joe Jones on drum, it wasn't Red Garland on the piano. His name escapes. I'll find a name for you again. But let's listen to a little jazz, legendary jazz, legendary figures. Voted the greatest jazz album of all time, Miles Davis, Kind of Blue. Thank you.
Dr. Stanley's question to Blog Talk Radio, on the Trust in God. And we're live from our Grand Prairie, Texas studios. More on the greatest jazz album of all time. John Coltrane. Bill Evans on piano. Coltrane on saxophone, tenor saxophone. Kemba Alley on alto sax. Miles Davis on trumpet. Paul Chambers on bass. Philly Joe Jones on drums.
Thank you.
make you feel your life almost gone.
Just look up, tomorrow's sun will let you know your life's not done. Just look around. Sharing the load we bear, so we must put our trust in God.
Even when we don't understand, and it seems our world is falling apart,
just look up,
tomorrow's sun.
One of the greatest pieces of music put together by the trumpeter. This would be the head trumpet and Paul Simon's band, Chris Bochy. Time to say goodbye. End of the show for the day. And as you look back, you thank God for seeing another day. You thank God for the wonderful things that transpired today and yesterday. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow's a mystery. Today is the present. We thank God for that. That's the end of course of the Blog Talk Radio. Professor Gavin live from our Grand Prairie Chapter Studios. We thank our co-host CT Talks and Dusty, who was live from our New York studios. We were live from our Texas studios. How about them Cowboys? We'll see about that tomorrow. Jets and Cowboys tomorrow at Dallas. Some updates here on the latest football scores from college. Georgia now has kind of convincingly moved in front of Carolina, 24-14. They're showing why they're number one. And they come back to win a game that looked like it was winnable for the opposition. And with 1:40 left to go, Georgia will kick the ball away. But this should be their football game. Here's some other scores. Well, we got the big game tonight, primetime in Colorado. Put them on the map. Put them in a media frenzy. And we will keep you posted. Right now, it looks like the number one team in the country will not be upset. They will stay number one, I would imagine. But right now, it's only a 10-point lead. And the rest of the series, we'll find out tomorrow. Doc Stanley's posting a Blog Talk Radio. My trust is done live from my Grand Prairie studios. And quarterback Carson Beck seems to have led his team. You ready, guys? Okay? Okay. Doc Stanley's posting a Blog Talk Radio. Trust got network live from my New York studios with Dusty live from our Texas studio from Sales and Grand Prairie, Texas. We got to go. It's the end of the show. The bottom of my heart. God bless you all. Yay.
Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. Did you enjoy the show? It was outstanding, but I expect that from the legendary Doc Stanley. Nothing less than the best. As he always says to me, and it's my favorite saying from him, live your life today as if you have to stand before God tomorrow. Words to live by. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night, and we'll see you next time on Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley.